glad to say that we now have gotten through to Tim Schwartz, even though I don't believe he's in Haiti, but sometimes we do have trouble getting through to our guest. Tim has been living, researching, and working in Haiti and the Dominican Republic for the past 27 years, and his first book, Travesty in Haiti, A True Account of Christian Missions, Orphanages, Food Fraud, Food Aid, and Drug Trafficking. Although it was self-published, it caused a sensation among the humanitarian aid workers and journalists who work around Haiti by laying out all the lies, the greed, the bluff behind these many supposedly altruistic projects. But now he's followed it up with a real, I can say it's a home run, The Great Haiti Humanitarian Aid Swindle, which, again, you can get by calling the pledge line 516-620-3602 as you listen to this interview. Don't wait to be for the pitching to start. You can call. And he really takes down the likes of Anderson Cooper, Bill and Hillary Clinton, UNICEF, Save the Children, a host of other do-gooders. He lays out the numbers. He names the names of all these bluffers, con artists, the ingenue, the supposedly naive, and their media facilitators. He really pulls no punches in this book. So, Tim Schwartz, welcome to Lombie Call. We trust you're able to hear us well.
Yes, Kim, thanks.
Okay, great. Okay, Tim, you've done the drill 2 weeks ago, and we'll be back at it now. But now we have people listening, and we're encouraging them to call in from time to time. We'll be pausing to pitch to them. But if you would, if you can give us a little notion of what you experienced after the earthquake in terms of the hypocrisy that you lay out in this book.
Okay, wait. My experience with the earthquake began immediately. I wasn't in Haiti. I was in the Dominican Republic. But I was with a senior foreign service officer, U.S. senior foreign service officer, and we came right back to Haiti. And so that gave me an opportunity, because I was with him, to see how the rescue effort was going at some of the highest levels. We also joined a rescue cruise for the first couple of days. We spent time at the airport. And later I worked in Laogan with the medical efforts. So I got a good look at the firsthand rescue effort and was appalled. It's not entirely what the book is about, but I began the book with that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know anything about rescue efforts. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, the book in general is about the aid agencies, the humanitarian aid agencies, UN, NGOs alike. And we all agree, I mean, these are institutions that are good or supposed to be good and necessary. And we have hot spots all over the world where organizations like UNICEF and CARE International could be a great service. And I don't know about those areas, but what I know about is these experiences in Haiti from after the earthquake and from working in Haiti for 25 years. So I begin with the rescue effort, but then the book goes through a series of issues that both the press and the humanitarian aid agencies highlighted and exaggerated and, some might say, outright lied about, aware that the information was wrong or misrepresented. Issues such as rape epidemic, where they presented as much as 6% of the population having been raped in a year. Mm-hmm. Orphans, 25% of all children, so the aid agencies claimed, UNICEF, Save the Children, and the press, the Associated Press, the wire agencies, New York Times echoed that 25% of all Haitian children have been separated or orphaned after the earthquake. So those are the kind of issues, you know, sort of exaggerations that they used. Obviously, with the aid agencies, the ultimate goal was to get donations to address these issues. And for the press, repeating those figures indiscriminately was good coverage. You know, it was with the earthquake itself, the rescue effort was something like 10 times more watched than any other news issue at the time.
Wow.
And we're all familiar, you know, with the rescue efforts themselves. And I don't know if you want to jump in there. Karen.
Yeah, that's great. You're doing well. Roger Leduc, my co-host, has a question for you.
I have a quick question just to clear things up, Mr. Schwartz. You are not saying that there wasn't a disastrous, catastrophic situation in Haiti, are you?
Not at all. You know, some people kid me about that. You know, there was no earthquake. No, there was a terrible, terrible earthquake, and some 50,000 to 60,000 people, in our best estimate. And one of the chapters is about this. I'm a methodologist, a statistician. I'm an anthropologist with an emphasis on statistics and gathering data. And I was hired by USAID to estimate the number of people who return home after years. And so one of the chapters is about the death count. And we estimate that about 50,000 to 60,000 people were killed. That's a lot of people. It ranks it as one of, if not the greatest disaster of this century and one of the greatest in history. But it's, one-fourth of what the aid agencies and the Haitian government was claiming. They were claiming 316,000. At a certain level, yes, it was. I mean, I'm not saying there wasn't a terrible disaster, but I'm saying it was exploited, it was exaggerated. And another issue, this is something I'd like to make clear about the book. There was a lot of waste. One of the most absurd things, and most people are aware of now, a lot was written about it, is that a lot of the money just simply seemed to disappear. Disappeared into the aid coffers and got used for administration fees, and we didn't see the kind of impact that we expected to see on the ground in Haiti. Roads, you know, and new housing. I mean, a lot of people are familiar with National Public Radio's review of Red Cross, where they had claimed they were going to build 10,000 houses, and they had collected, $1.4 billion, and they built six houses.
Six houses, right.
So a lot of us are aware of that. And the book, I didn't go after that in the book. I summarized a lot of the absurdities, and there are many, many absurdities about where the money went, how it got wasted. What I focus, let me slip one point in there. Had they spent the money well, had they had a great impact, had the total $13.1 billion collected and given by governments, had it been spent effectively on infrastructure, on helping the poor in Haiti, housing, then, you know, I might not have a right to complain at this point. I might say, okay, so they lied, so they exaggerated. They got the money and they did some good with it. But the crime, from my point of view, and as a consultant and as an aid worker myself, is that they lied, they exaggerated, and then most of the money disappeared. And going back to the way they got the money was using those lies and exaggerations. So that's part of the problem. The other part is when they define problems like rape epidemics, massive, you know, orphan crisis. What else? There's other ones, you know, starvation issues.
The rape, the number of people who were killed.
Yeah, the number of people who were killed. When they define these issues and they say, this is our problem. Give us some money. Let us do something. Well, they've already got off on the wrong foot because they've created a phantom problem. In a good case of the rapes, we did a survey 3 years after the earthquake. I was studying this issue and I recount this in one of the chapters in the book. It was clear to most people and most Haitians in Port-au-Prince that there was no rape epidemic, that the press was wildly blowing this out of proportion. And I got a chance 3 years after the earthquake to do a survey for CARE International. We used some rather creative modern techniques. I'm a professor. I studied under the University of Florida, Russ Bernard. It's called scaling up. It's where instead of asking people, has anybody in this household been raped? You ask people, do you know anybody who's been raped? And you use some rather creative techniques, network analysis, how many people know. And what we estimated was that less people, it's 6%, 2 years, 3 years after the earthquake, in two of the hottest, or, you know, one Carrefour, a dense urban area, and the other one ground zero for the earthquake, Laogai. In those areas, 6% of the people even knew somebody who'd been raped. When you put the math on it, it was six people per 100,000 people per year had been raped. The United States rate is 23 people per 100,000 per year. So this supposed rape epidemic where no woman was safe, where they're raping children and women, in reality, the index for rape was one-fourth what you find in the United States at the time. That's just another example.
Yeah.
But again,
And let me just jump in here, Tim. We're talking with Tim Schwartz, the author of The Great Haiti Humanitarian Aid Swindle. We're offering a signed copy of this book. Tim Schwartz is donating these books to WBAI. And this guy has a lot of problems, believe me. I mean, Tim Schwartz, you're faced with a lot of challenges working
in
Haiti.
He could use that money otherwise.
So this is a big ask for him. But he is donating this to the station, $50, signed copy. It can be yours. And this book, it really is, there's nothing like it out there. And it's only on a station like WBAI. I doubt CNN has been banging down your door, Tim, to do something on this.
Anderson Cooper.
Anderson Cooper, right. Right. I mean, they might bang your door down for a lawsuit or something, maybe. But, this is an incredibly unique, informative, the kind of book that is custom made for the Pacifica audience, for people who want to see behind the malfeasance of the mainstream media. And Tim Schwartz has laid this out, and the book is pure statistics. It's figures. He's a statistician. I mean, the footnotes, I think it's more than half the book, isn't it, Tim? Or so, I mean, yeah. It's amazing. So really, this is a tremendous resource. You can, give this to people. $50, 516-620-3602.
516-620-3602.
Call in, and this will, you'll be supporting this program, The Haiti Show on WBAI. You'll be supporting the station, and as we said at the beginning, this station is facing an existential crisis because the Empire State Building Corporation wants to shake down Pacifica for millions of dollars to keep that antenna up there. I know you might say, forget the antenna, forget the radio, just become an internet radio. But no, this station has been built on the airwaves, and a lot of people, the way they listen to it, they turn it on in their car, they turn it on in their kitchen, they turn it on, when they're out in the park, and that is how they follow this station and these news and learn things that they otherwise would not know.
And so, very quickly, Kim, on top of the usual needs that WBAI has to meet regular liabilities, regular debts to make this mission work. Now we are facing this legal problem.
Unbelievable.
Empire State. Legal fees and other fees have to be paid. Humongous debts that WBAI, that they have piled on WBAI. Yeah. So we are facing the usual problems, and we are facing this very special and urgent problem.
But I think to some extent our savior has been President Donald Trump, because he has mobilized people. They've suddenly seen why a station like this has to exist,
necessary.
Must exist.
It's indispensable.
Indispensable, and they are mobilizing in greater numbers downstairs. The room is filled to capacity often, as we have, tremendous new shows and producers making presentations. I mean, there is a movement germinating here. And Tim Schwartz's book, The Great Haiti Humanitarian Aid Swindle, is just one element of it. And you can have it by calling 516-620-3602. Tim, I want to go back. If you can grab your book, if you've got it there, page 130, it talks about the big lie. And the big lie you're talking about here is orphans. You give some of these headlines to start it. Up to 2 million children are feared orphaned or at least separated from their parents in Haiti. That was the London Evening Standard on January 15, 2010. Crisis of 1 million Haitian orphans, as UNICEF warns, the devastation has jumped to unbearable proportions. That was the Daily Mail a couple of days later. 1 million orphans in Haiti, the Daily Beast. 1 million children left orphans in Haiti, horror, the Express. So can you pick it up there, read down to the bottom of the page, starting with "there never was anywhere," Tim Schwartz.
"There never was anywhere near 1 million children orphaned or separated from their families. There were probably fewer than 1,000 of them. Indeed, there may not have been 100. And it is hard to conclude anything else but that the experts at UNICEF and Save the Children knew it. March 9th, 8 weeks after the earthquake, UNICEF would report that it had registered only 300 lost or separated children. And for those children who really were lost or separated, UNICEF wasn't doing much to get them home. 10 weeks after the earthquake, UNICEF had only reunited 20 children with their families. Yes, 20. In view of those figures, UNICEF Save the Children's claimed 1 million lost, orphaned, or separated children to be understood as outright lies.
So there we have just a little taste of this book, The Great Haiti Humanitarian Aid Swindle. We see how they have been playing the public to raise money. And often the money, as you note, Tim, has not been spent on the poor, on these terrible, on the victims that these on these victims of these terrible crimes and disasters. It's ended up going into these agencies themselves. Talk about that a little bit.
We know the money. A lot of the money disappeared. We don't know where, but you can estimate. And this was a pretty hot topic the year after the earthquake. There was a whole rash of articles, and there was a documentary film all called "Where Did the Money Go?"
Right.
Because we all had these, you know, huge expectations. It was a massive amount of money. $13.1 billion. We're talking about a country with an annual budget of $1 billion. So it was 13 times the annual budget. And there were big hopes. And then a year later, more than half the money was gone. And anyway, little to nothing to show for it. Well, yeah. Go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Schwartz, one big moment in this whole crisis was when people started complaining to the big about the big agencies of relief. Red Cross came out and admitted that they're not giving the whole money to Haiti. They decided that was policy. That's institutionalizing the system, that Red Cross will take some of the money and keep it for itself, waiting for another disaster so they can respond to it. This was incredible to me.
There's a few things going on there, too. Most of the agencies, you know, they all say things like, we only spend 8% on donation drives or administration fees. And I mean, there's smoke and mirrors. You know, most of the agencies spend as much as 50%. And a lot of times when they say 8%, they're talking about, like, the office in Washington or something. But then there's the office in Port-au-Prince, and, you know, and there's all the fleet of vehicles. And then there's, you know, pension plans and school tuitions and housing costs. But there's some problems that aren't entirely the aid agency's fault. Like, had that money, none of these agencies were equipped to deal with that kind of money in Haiti. Nobody had an effective infrastructure on the ground to spend that kind of money. I had a conversation with one of the Save the Children directors, and she told me, they gave her $30 million, made her responsible for $30 million, and said, "You've got 6 months to spend that money." She said she had no idea how to do it,
right?
Because they don't, you know, they can't effectively spend the budgets they already had. It's one of the sort of aid crises we have in Haiti, is that they're not capable of putting into place effective programs, and that's part of the point of the book, because they so misunderstand. There's such a radical disjunction between the aid agencies understanding what is going on in Haiti, the understanding of the problems and the programs that they implement. And you know, another interesting, I want to kind of interject here. You sit down with anybody who's been in Haiti for any length of time, of course, sit down with any Haitian, and they'll tell you these things. And even people inside the agencies will tell you how horrible, what a terrible chaos and what waste is going on. They won't say it publicly because their jobs are on the line, but it's not like I've said something secret. It's not like I've let the cat out of the bag. Well, maybe I have let the cat out of the bag, because people don't usually publish this sort of stuff. And I'm already getting a lot of heat from it. Just today, I got two letters from lawyers. I got one from the largest aid agency in the world, largest NGO in the world, from Food for the Poor. Yeah. And they were going after me for something that was well documented. It really wasn't, and I barely mentioned it. It was the famous $38,000 Caracol houses, which began with a partnership between USAID and
Caracol being the sweatshop town built up in the north of Haiti, or now a sweatshop town, built by the Clinton Foundation initiative and the Hillary Clinton State Department. They put this cheap labor sweatshop town. Yes, continue, Tim.
Yeah, I mean, ironically, Clark, for the poor, was saying that he was trying to distance himself because it's such a fiasco, and they want me to retract, state that they were had a partnership with USAID. But anyway, getting back to the point, everybody working in Haiti and virtually the entire Haitian population understands that Haiti is chaos. Most people participate in the aid workers, like I said, because they get paid, but the Haitians themselves too, because in order to get the aid, you have to be a victim. You have to fit the criteria that the aid agency is giving away, because some of the money does get down to so-called beneficiaries, to the poor, or they have to qualify. So if the hot thing is you know, rape victims, you have to be a rape victim. If it's orphans, you have to be an orphan. If it's restivex, you got to be restivex. So you have the ironic situation where parents are trying to, you know, claim their children are orphans. And parents trying to claim their children are restivex, which is domestic service. But again, it's not a secret. It's not what I'm describing is just something that people don't talk about. They don't publish. Mm-hmm. And the data, as Kim was saying a little while ago, well documented. I mean, most of these issues, I can pull out data from the aid agencies themselves. And what qualifies me too, as well, is that I've worked for most of these agencies. I gather the data for most of these agencies on all these issues.
Right. You are the consummate insider or whistleblower, we could say, who has gone and blown the whistle. And this is the result. The book, The Great Haiti Humanitarian Aid Swindle. We're talking with Tim Schwartz. It can be yours for $50. You're supporting this radio station, WBAI, 516-620-3602. And he's going to sign a copy for you.
For you.
Yeah.
Okay, Tim Schwartz, making the point that, you know, we always talked about disaster capitalism and the scandals of the aid industry, the global aid industry. You know, the value of a book like yours is that it's not something abstract. You're actually showing the mechanism, how these things actually happen in real life. It's not something abstract. It happens, and then there are institutions, and there are agents, and there are corrupt governments, there are corrupt NGOs, and that there is a way these things actually happen. It's not an abstraction. And there is the broad picture that everybody has succeeded in profiting from the Haitian misery, except for the Haitian poor in the country itself. But the actual details of how this happened, for me, it's priceless.
It's laid out here. Yeah, Tim.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I mean, that's what sets the book apart, General Bean. You have other books like this that talk in general terms about the failure of aid, and we know about this lack of accountability, but I've never seen another book, you know, not blowing my own horn, but I've never seen another book that details the mechanisms of it, of how it happened.
Right, and I have to say, Tim, as a longtime Haiti observer, you have been able to plumb and dissect and show the nuance of a lot of myths, as well as of Haitian culture and how these things go, where becoming a victim becomes kind of a way out, becomes an industry, and this feeds in to the whole cycle that goes. This book is really worth your while if you want to understand Haiti or understand the humanitarian complex. I don't know whether to call it the military humanitarian complex, but I think that might be justified. The Great Haiti Humanitarian Aid Swindle, Tim Schwartz, Dr. Tim Schwartz. We're going to have him back again, I'm sure, if we have a chance during this mini fund drive this summer. 516-620-3602. Tim, we're out of time, unfortunately. We haven't had a lot. I see you've grown into the role. You're clearly a lot more comfortable behind the mic now, and we can't wait to have you back. I'm working on the review of the book. I'm really looking forward to writing it as much as I enjoyed reading it. So Tim Schwartz, we'll have you back again soon. We have to wind it up now, and until then, be well, and we'll be talking to you again soon.
Okay, thanks very much.
OK. Okay, thank you, Tim Schwartz. This has been Lambi Call, produced by WBAI's AD Collective. My name is Roger Leduc. I was with Kim Ives talking to Tim Schwartz about his book. Thanks to our producer, Marc Sosson, and of course to Max Schmidt, who has engineered our show.